And today I'm joined by Richard Stables, who is the Information Support Manager at Headway. So how are you today?
Morning, Andrew. Everything is just peachy. Thanks very much.
Grant, thanks for joining me. So this week we're covering brain health. And we want to talk about probably the mildest of the brain injuries, which is a concussion. So what exactly is a concussion?
As you're probably aware, your brain is, it's held inside your skull in a kind of a fluid that cushions it from general impact, and it kind of, and if that gets shaken, that's what causes a concussion.
Okay, and what are the symptoms of a concussion?
Well, when your brain gets shaken with the impact, it just changes the way that your brain normally works. So, any kind of symptoms can arise, things like headaches, you can get confusion, nausea, dizziness, or you could even have things like memory problems or just ongoing fatigue. Sometimes people just complain of like not feeling quite right, or some people will lose consciousness, but you don't necessarily have to lose consciousness to have a concussion.
Okay, yeah, because one of the misconceptions I can remember a few years ago was you wouldn't be diagnosed with one unless you were unconscious for at least like 5 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, and that doesn't really apply.
Okay, and then is it dangerous? Like, can a concussion cause death?
No, it's not a concussion in itself is not dangerous, and a single concussion will certainly not cause death. In fact, the vast majority of concussions will resolve or heal themselves within either a few hours or a few days, or at the most two or 3 weeks. It's only really rare situations where the symptoms of a concussion will be persistent. But that does happen in a minority of cases. But no, it doesn't cause death. You might have some symptoms that are ongoing, but it's not dangerous in itself. Sometimes if you go on to have more concussions, then you are potentially at risk of longer-term difficulties, such as things like something called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is what all the boxers and the American footballers have been diagnosed with.
Yeah, that was originally known as like punch drunk syndrome, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's right. And it was Will Smith, the concussion movie, and it was certainly brought to the attention in the States, and it's an area that's currently being researched. It's not very well understood at the moment.
Yeah, and one of the most famous cases was probably Muhammad Ali.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be quite an unusual situation, but there would be a number of people that you'd be kind of concerned about the level of repeated injuries to the head, particularly boxers and even some rugby players who might be vulnerable to that. And there have been cases of people who've retired from sport as a result of the longer term effects of the multiple concussions. But a single concussion in itself, and I think it's important to emphasize this, a single concussion in itself will not cause a major injury, and in general will generally not cause a lasting injury.
So say, like, with especially athletes, at times they can be their own worst enemy. Like, you've seen cases with Brian O'Driscoll clearly being taken off the pitch, like just looking out of it, and somehow he makes his way back on. So do you think they need to bring in sort of new regulations to deal with concussions on the sideline and prevent stuff like that from happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of development in the approach to dealing with concussion on the sports field. It's been an area that both internationally and all the sporting bodies here have actually paid a lot of attention to. And, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. Since the 1950s, I think there's been a 25% increase in the average bulk of your average rugby player. I mean, that's if you think about that, the guys are 25% heavier now than they used to be in the 50s. That's a lot of weight that people put on. So when they're bashing into each other, there's going to be more injury and more serious kinds of injury. And we, I think we've seen this on the field. But the there is an international consensus around what needs to happen with regards to sports-related concussion, and the the national sporting bodies. In some cases, they're kind of leading the the education and awareness around it. So so the IRFU and the GAA are both being very active at promoting good practice with respect to concussion. But sure, when you're on the pitch, there's still those situations where you see people, you know, who are getting up and being wanting to play on, and sometimes in some cases being allowed to play on when maybe they really should sit it out. And I think our message is very much, you know, if in doubt, sit it out.
Exactly, yeah. And like one of the protocols now, especially with athletes, is just to take time off and gradually get back into the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something called a graduated return to play, and they have to do that under appropriate supervision, and that would be to make sure that they're not at the risk of something called second impact syndrome. I don't know if you remember back in 2011, there was a very, very sad incident in the north where a young lad, Ben Robinson, died after he had a concussion, and then he played on, and then he received a second injury and subsequently died of that second injury. The effects of the second injury could be exacerbated because of the first concussion. So for that reason, when people are taken off the field, it's important that they don't go back until they're absolutely cleared by the medical staff.
And like you were talking there about repeat concussions, if you pick up one, is it easier to pick up another?
Yeah, it kind of is. Again, the research on this, I think, is still underway, but it's certainly when you get a brain injury, a single brain injury, it does put you at risk for getting a second one. That's if you think about it, it makes sense. If your judgment is impaired slightly, your impulses are slowed, you're going to be at risk. Now, the biggest risk to a second concussion, if you've taken one, is the fact that you're probably still continuing to engage in the contact sport, and you're maybe need to adjust the way in which you're playing or whatever, but it certainly does put you at some increased risk.
So, in my lifetime, I've picked up a few concussions. I also know friends have picked them up, and we've been to the hospital when we received them and been misdiagnosed. So I was going to ask you, why do you think there are certain doctors still miseducated about them?
I think it's always a challenge to get the message out there about it. And one of the particular difficulties and challenges with concussion is that it's not always easy to diagnose, because it doesn't necessarily show on things like the brain scans that you routinely get when you've had a head injury. Because it's not like a car crash where there's a very specific location in your head where the bruise is, and that'll show up on a scan. With a concussion where the whole brain is being shaken, it doesn't always show on the brain imaging exactly what's happened there. Nausea, vomiting, that could be associated with any number of kind of things, and it's not always easy for doctors to definitively say, yeah, that's related to this incident that happened a week ago or whatever. Generally speaking, if the onset of those symptoms is very close to the incident, then it's a bit easier to diagnose. But it's a question of awareness as well.
And also, there's been talk of like changing rules in particular sports to reduce the risk of concussion. One I've heard was removing headers from football, especially at a youth level.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good step, or is it sort of too far?
to be honest, it's an area that we probably don't have enough expertise to give a definitive answer on, because the research is still out there. But I think if it could be demonstrated that it definitely did reduce the level of concussion or head injury, particularly within the youth game, you can absolutely be sure we'd support that.
So to change the topic a little bit, we'll talk about Headway. So what is Headway?
Well, we're a community-based organisation that help people get their lives back on track following what's called an acquired brain injury, which can be a brain injury from something like a head injury or a concussion, or from a stroke or a hemorrhage in the brain.
And what services do you offer to those patients?
Sure. We have a wide range of services that help people get their lives back together after they've been discharged from hospital. So that could be anything from a helpline service for families, and we have that available on a free phone number, or it could be psychological support and psychological therapy, or we have training courses, and we have work-related support. So we've got something called community-based rehabilitation, where people can be assisted to get out and about more and to participate in their local communities a bit better. And for those people who've been injured more severely, we have long-term day programs as well for helping them to reduce social isolation and things like that. Also, we have support and information for families and family members as well, so including counseling and the helpline, and lots of information as well.
And so I won't keep you any longer. So one last question. If viewers want to learn about brain injuries or avail of your services, where can they find them?
Sure. Well, if anybody wants to find out a little bit more about brain injury and what Headway do, just go to our website. It's headway.ie, and you'll find lots of information there about the brain and about our services and about how we can help if anybody's been affected by this.
Grant, so thank you very much, Richard, for the interview. It was very informative.
All right, Andrew.
Thanks. Have a good day.